The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had ordered them. When they all saw him, they worshipped him, but still some doubted. Then Jesus approached and he said to them, "All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always until the end of the age." The Gospel of the Lord. Today, the Word of God and the liturgy invites us to reflect on the mystery of the Trinity. I mentioned in the last few weeks that if you go to any Catholic bookstore and you look for a book on pneumatology, which is the theology of the Holy Spirit, you will be stretched to find any book on the Holy Spirit. That's probably also true of the Trinity. Go to any Catholic bookstore and say, "Do you have any book on the Trinity?" You'll have to search and search. We seem to accept the Trinity. We bless ourselves. We pray in the name of the Trinity. It's an essential part of our belief. We don't question, it's a mystery. Three persons in one. I've even seen ball players going up to the plate, bless themselves. And we used to talk about the old story about the boxer who, before the first round, he blessed himself, and somebody said to the priest, "Will it help him?" And the priest said, "Yes, if he can box." So we seem to accept the Trinity without much question. It has never been a major controversy in the history of the church, except once or twice. In the year 1054, there was a major schism between the East and the West, Constantinople and Rome. Some of it, a major portion of it, was attached to the doctrine of the Trinity, dealing with the Holy Spirit, a very complex theological issue that's beyond me, but had to deal with the processions of the Holy Trinity. It's called the Filioque controversy. And also they threw in there the celibacy in the Western Church, which was not true in the Eastern Church, and a huge division in 1054 between Constantinople and Rome, and thus the Orthodox churches as we know them today were all born from that controversy, and especially from that controversy. Rather curiously, it takes 900 years, shows you how a division in religion can last a long time. 900 years before the Constantinople, the Patriarch will meet the Pope. In January 1964, the Pope Paul VI, went to Jerusalem, and the Patriarch Athanagoras came from Constantinople, from Istanbul, and they met and began a dialogue between the Eastern Orthodox churches and the church in the West from Rome. This was a major controversy involving the Trinity. Outside of that, I can't find any major issue. We seem to just accept the mystery of the Trinity, three persons in one God, not looking for books. Now, pastoral theologians like Rollheiser or Rohr or John Chittister will tell you, don't look for an understanding of the Trinity from books. Look for an experience of the Trinity. Don't ask to explain it. Pray to experience the Trinity. And the Trinity is three persons in one God, united in perfect love. It's the perfect love that makes the three persons one God. In the human imagining of this, monks are inclined to tell us that the Trinity is more present in a domestic climate than a monastic center. It's somehow to experience the Trinity has something to do with the human experience of community. Marriage is held up as a sacramental, imperfect image of the Trinity, where two persons vow to become one, to forgive, to care, to journey together for life. This is an image of the Trinity, a human, broken, struggling image. Families, communities, churches are meant to image the Trinity, where you have a diversity, you have a broken humanity, which one person cannot fix, but one person can witness the Trinity. The Trinity is the sign of God's infinite love expressed in our humanity. Therefore, we're looking for human imaging of the perfect love of three persons in one God. Nelson Mandela became president of South Africa in 1991, and he invoked in his wish to reconcile a radically divided community in South Africa, he invoked a concept called Ubuntu, which belonged to the Zulu tribe people. And this is a statement that Mandela would say, "I am human because I belong to humanity. It's humanity that affirms me in my humanity. It's other people that somehow convince me of the richness of being human. And therefore we belong together. It's only in our togetherness that somehow we can begin to reflect the meaning of a theology of Trinity in the bonds we have." He was telling us what Jesus told us in the proclamation and the ministry of Jesus: nobody is excluded. Jesus breaks bread with the social and religious outcasts, tax collectors and public sinners. Nobody is excluded in the proclamation of Jesus. This is an expression of community speaking to us about Trinity. I remember the proclamation of Jesus says, the Trinity happens and is witnessed not through law, but through love. Not through merit, but through need. Look at the life of Jesus. All those to whom he ministered and he blessed did not merit this. At the Last Supper, he shares the Eucharist with Judas and with Peter and with those whom he knew would leave him and abandon him in his crisis. And yet he shared the Eucharist, not because they merited this, but because they needed this. I remember in 1964, in January 1964, I was a seminarian in Ireland. I was a deacon, Father Dennis and I, same class. I anticipated coming to the United States in July of that year, and therefore all that happened in the United States was of interest to me. I remember reading about the Civil Rights Act, which President Johnson signed in 1964, a sweeping and much needed Civil Rights Act. It had to do with discrimination or having non-discrimination in jobs and housing and voting and desegregation of schools. It was an enormous, sweeping piece of legislation which was desperately needed. And after President Johnson signed the legislation, he looked at his colleagues, Democrats, and he says, "There goes the South." And that happened because conversion and Trinity does not happen through law, it happens through love. And the piece of legislation, while it was great law, it did not substitute for love. How to connect, how to belong, how to witness Trinity, this is the invitation of God's presence today. Recently, this week, I was given a book on the theology of Van Gogh, and it has commentary in there about the affinity between Henry Nouwen, a theologian, Dutch theologian, and Van Gogh. What's interesting about this is Van Gogh, in his famous paintings like the Potato Eaters and the Angelus. When I was a kid in Ireland, we had a print of the Angelus. Everybody has seen a print of the Angelus. There's two people out in the field. The man takes his hat off, and they're stopped to pray as they work in the fields to pray the Angelus. But before Van Gogh could do either one of those paintings or any other one, he had to live in the farming life, the austerity of the winter. He had to experience what was happening to these people before he could produce this on canvas. He had to enter into their life. He had to belong to them. Henry Nouwen has the very same thing. What made him a popular, impactful theologian was his own humanity, his own brokenness, his own struggle to belong, to find meaning in life. This is what made him real. And Van Gogh would go on to say, before you can grow, you have to be planted. That's a significant statement. It meant something to me. Before I can grow in a community, I have to be planted in the community. I have to belong to the humanity of the community. The poverty, the emptiness, the struggles, the sins, all of these things somehow, I have to find a place and a connection if I am to grow in a community, if I am to witness Trinity. What does this mean to me? In writing this reflection here, and this week reading Van Gogh and Henry Nouwen, I wonder, what does this mean to me? Pope Francis speaks frequently to priests and clerics about clericalism. Clericalism is a certain disability, I'll call it, in the clerical world, a male celibate clerical world. It's a place there is presumed privilege, the privilege that allows clerics to make hard judgments, to exclude people. It's a clericalism that is beyond belonging to the humanity of the world. Somehow, I have to be planted before I can grow. It struck me that this is the call of the Trinity to each one of us. It could be in your marriage, it could be in your family, it could be in your community, it could be in your church. But I have come to the understanding of my vocation. I know Father Albert spoke about his vocation. At this point in my life, my vocation is not toward perfection. There was a time when I thought I was called to spiritual perfection. I gave that up long ago. I tried, it didn't work. I tried many times, it didn't work. I am called in my vocation to be fully human. That's my vocation. How to meet people in their humanity. And therefore, in a strange way, see, we're born of 1,000 people. That's why the Tulsa massacre belongs to us. We shouldn't miss that. If we miss that, we might get the impression we're above and beyond. We're not above and beyond. We belong to humanity. We were born of 1,000 people. We have inherited all the gifts and the blessings of those who went before us. And we too have inherited the burdens, the sins, the brokenness of all those who went before us. That's what it means to have Trinity alive within us and within our community. Keep that in mind. So I wrote a whole journal on I must be planted before I can grow. What does this mean? What does it mean to you? You have to be planted in humanity before you can grow. Be planted in your broken family, in your marriage that's struggling, in a church which is sinful. We have to long to this first before we can begin to grow. And that's what it means not to read about God in Trinity, but to experience God in Trinity. Amen.